Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hey, David.
How you doing?
I am so glad. Doing good. I'm so glad to have you on. You know, you're my oldest grandson.
And, number one.
Number one oldest grandson, right? And we had this opportunity to come together and talk today. And I want to just be able to just hear from your heart, kind of share what's going on. And God's been doing some pretty awesome things in your life, huh?
Yes, sure has.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that, I wanted just to hear from you and just kind of share with anybody that's listening right now about just pretty amazing things that God's doing in your life. And I just want to be real and raw. Mm-hmm. Just talk about it. And so just recently, you have the kind of personality that's intense, probably a lot of mine, that gets focused on something. You got to know everything about it. And
yeah. And
so I was talking to you about that and that, you know, that's not necessarily a negative thing because, you know, people who are inventors, you know, they actually go after every way to do this thing until they finally do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be, you know, focused on something and something that's good. If not, you could be focused in something bad. And so I said, you have the ability to be fascinated, you know. And I said, you need to, you know, ask God to give you a fascination with Him.
Yeah.
You know, where you got this, just find out all the things about God. You remember having that? Remember having the conversation?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So we had talked about, you know, having a fascination in God and a focus for God and focusing more on what God's going to do in my life and what he's trying to tell me or stuff like that. And later that night, as I was going to bed, I had prayed mm-hmm. for a fascination and a peaceful sleep and maybe a dream. And then you came in.
So you just asked God already.
Yeah, and I had asked God already.
Yeah.
And then you came in and we prayed about the same thing pretty much. Fascination. Maybe a dream.
You know, God says in Job 33 that He does speak to us in our sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Does God speak to you in your sleep?
Yes, most definitely.
So tell us, you know, this whole, what happened in this, after that prayer that night when you went to sleep, what did God do?
Well, God spoke to me in a very interesting way. Mm-hmm. You know, like it kind of was indirect, but it involved me. So I happened to be in my dream. I went to sleep, of course, and in my dream I was in school. I was back in middle school,
mm-hmm.
And so when I was in middle school, I was always mm-hmm. getting bullied, made fun of, and
there's so many people that have this been bullied and all that.
No. Yeah, mm-hmm. And like these kids would just never stop messing with me, and then I would keep tripping and falling, and everybody in the dream, I would trip and fall, and everybody would make fun of me. Everybody would laugh, they would joke about it, and I just walk away and I just keep going. I wouldn't listen to any of it. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on in the dream. And then it happened every day. Every day at school, I tripped and fell. Every time I got off the bus, I tripped and fell. Every time I walked, I tripped and fell. And so,
what were you feeling during those times?
I mean, I felt embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I felt like overwhelmed and irritated.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, like anybody feels when they trip and fall and people laugh.
Right.
I mean, so I had, you know, I was going back to school the next day, and same time every day, a kid would come up to me while we were changing classes, and he'd bully me. And so, in this dream, one day a kid that I remember from elementary school came up to me, and
this is all in a dream now.
Yeah, it's all in the dream. So, like a kid in elementary school that I knew, he was in middle school now, but he came up to me and the bully, and he told the bully, "If you keep bullying him, or if you bully him again, I'm gonna go and tell the dean." And so, the next day, I thought it was going to be all okay, and I thought he wasn't going to bully me. Well, the kid came back and bullied me, mm-hmm. except this time I tripped and fell, and then he picked me up and started bullying me again. And so whenever he started bullying me, I found the kid, same kid that I knew from elementary school, he walked up to him again, and he said, this is what really caught me. He said, in God's name, I demand these demons and evil spirit away from you. And the kid just... I was like, no, just give him another chance. Please don't go tell the dean. That's all I was worried about. I didn't even catch on to what he had said.
Okay.
And so, like, whenever he said that, I just felt like he shouldn't go tell the dean. I feel like he should give him another chance. I felt like giving him mercy and grace, you know, like, and I feel like that's what a lot of people have done for me nowadays, just mm-hmm. showing mercy and grace for me, and so is God. But in the dream, the kid the next day didn't bully me. But when I got off the bus, I tripped and fell off the bus. Everybody just laughed and made fun of me, rolled down the windows, threw paper at me, things like that. And then a tour bus pulled up, like a big, like some like famous person tour bus, you know, like they pull up in those things. And this kid got out, and I'm like, well, where'd you get the tour bus from? He says, don't worry about it. He says, because God gives you amazing things as long as you believe and give. And so, I mean, whenever we were, and then he started, and he asked if he could walk me home, and I said, yeah, sure. And so we were walking home, and I tripped and fell. He helped me back up. He didn't laugh. He didn't make fun of me. But what he did say was, you're strong. You keep falling. You keep getting back up. You keep hurting yourself. You keep getting laughed at. You keep getting bullied. And even when you're getting bullied, you gave the kid mercy and grace. And you just don't respond to none of the negative stuff that people say to you, but you fall into the negative stuff all the time. But I see you as you trip and fall, and you just get back up. You're a strong guy. You can keep going. Just keep believing. And I tripped and fell again, picked me right back up and said, you got this. Dust me off. And after that, I didn't trip anymore. And that's when the dream ended.
That's powerful, isn't it? What a fascinating dream when you're asking God to speak to you, because it has been a journey in your life, and you've been asking God about to help you understand, you know, your life and what's taking place and what has happened. And I think one thing that dream does when you think about it, because, you know, the Word of God talks about, Scripture talks about, that everybody stumbles, even the righteous stumble, but they get back up again. It's the people who stumble and don't get back up again that get defeated. But it's God, I mean, God... It really shows that God was aware, has been aware of your life, your whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been seeing all these things taking place. Isn't that fascinating? When you think about that, when you think about, wow, God, you were there all along. You saw all this stuff happening when I thought maybe I was alone in this. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it makes me, when I noticed all that, he was always there. I mean, it made me feel like, wow, how did I miss this?
Right.
But at the same time, it makes me feel grateful and happy that I know somebody's there. Even when I didn't think anybody was there.
So what would you say to somebody right now that they're going through that situation and they're being bullied? You know, when you're being bullied, you feel all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because it literally is a spiritual attack, like the Lord told you. It's a demonic attack getting hold of someone, and the enemy's using that person to come against you. And so that's happening all over the place right now. What would you say right now if you were talking to that person? As a matter of fact, look in that camera right there and just tell them, what could you say to encourage them now that you know about God, God's aware, and then how you're abiding with God now and the good things that have happened? What would you say to them?
Well, the first thing I would say is, even if you're being bullied, it's a spiritual battle. It's not a battle between flesh and blood. It's people that are insecure spiritually. And so when you feel like you're all alone, you're really not. You gotta believe, and you gotta follow God, and it's not a pretend game. You just gotta abide. You gotta follow what God says. You gotta listen. You gotta take time out of your day just to do those kind of things. And once you have God in, like, you just, it's like building character. It's like building a whole new you. And whenever you first invite God into your heart, it's like being reborn. And I'd recommend it.
Man,
so
that's pretty awesome. I know that, you know, backing up a little bit, you know, when, these choices that you made in your life had put you in a particular place that you didn't necessarily want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's prior to you having this discernment of understanding what you were wrestling against all those different times. But because of your actions, it put you in a particular place, and your freedom was taken away from you in that place.
Yes.
And tell us a little about that, what that's like.
Well, first thing is, it's not fun. Having no freedom, being told when to go to the bathroom, when to go to sleep, when you turn out your lights, what book you have to read, or not being able to choose what kind of TV show you want to watch, or not being able to play cards if somebody else is playing and they don't want to let you play at all, or getting a concussion because somebody wants to play basketball and they don't want to let you play.
So what happened with that situation?
Well, I mean, it was more of my pride that got in the way, but I had gotten into an altercation with a kid because he was wanting to play basketball, and mm-hmm. you know, when he asked, I said, and he asked for the aggression, and I said, and I acted like a parent, mm-hmm. and I mean, I didn't know it at the time,
right?
But
I understand.
I told him, hold on, it's not your turn. Can you just hang on a minute? We're almost done.
Right.
It was kind of like treating him like he's a baby or something.
Right.
And I noticed that because me and you talked about it.
Right.
But
afterwards, though.
Yeah. And so he ended
he
up.
He was in lockup too.
Yeah.
And so that really stirred up something in his life, right?
Yeah.
And so what did he do when you weren't even looking?
When I wasn't looking, he hit me.
Right.
And I hit my head on the wall, and then after I was out, I don't know what happened after that.
He got a concussion,
yeah.
and that it's just terrible. Decisions that we make do affect our future. I mean, it's very yeah. important, but being alone in those decisions is really rough. But I know, and so, you know, I was trying to get to see you, or, you know, the timings and all that type of stuff, and that at literally reapplied to be a chaplain again to be able to get in to see you so we could talk and that type mm-hmm. of thing. And I finally got all that stuff through. And Sergeant Grice, you know, had let me know that he was keeping an eye on you and after that situation, because I didn't know prior to that. And so I finally got the chance. I'm coming down to see you, and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm just praying as I get to go ahead in there. And you were praying that day too, weren't you? And
yes.
I was talking to God?
That morning, I hadn't even got off the bed. They hadn't even turned the lights on telling us to get up. I was just up. And I hadn't even gotten my head up. I barely even opened my eyes. I was like, God, I need something positive today. I need to be able to get out of this place. I don't deserve this. I mean, I deserve it, but I don't need it. It's not what I need. It's not what it's meant for me. And so, but
God, you're going to court that day.
Yes.
You had no idea. I had no idea. You had no idea how it was going to go. It could have gone into deeper yeah. lockup, or
and I could have gone to a whole lot yeah. of. I could have gone even worse place.
Yes.
So, but God, after I finished praying, God gave me a feeling that was a really good feeling. He gave me a feeling that something great was going to happen today. He didn't tell me what it was, but he told me when it was. He said something good was going to happen at court.
Right.
And so, he didn't tell me what it was. He didn't tell me how it's going to turn out.
Right.
And so, I was like, okay, I'll just go with the flow. I'm not going to ask any questions. God doesn't like questions.
Right.
So.
And you were reading that time I've given you through Sergeant Grice, the book, Blessed and Unstoppable.
Yes.
And you were getting new language in your heart and, mm-hmm. and life and getting a positive vision. So you know, I find out, I go to see you, and they wouldn't let me touch you. We just had to talk at a distance, you know, and that kind of thing. And while I was there, you know, it's meeting with you, when we finished talking, I was leaving. I went to go chance to meet with Sergeant Grice. Took me to the major and the captain that's there, and we're meeting in the office right close to where we met.
Yeah.
And the glory of God, the honey thick presence of glory of God, fell in that office, and the major was crying, Sergeant Grice was crying. That just the presence of God just came there, and it was just powerful. We're talking about the next about back father and son camping trips, you know, and the glory of God and the power of God, and just God was in that moment. It's like God's doing something. And that's when I find out you're going to court and we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, and Sergeant Grice says I could be at the court. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go over to the court. So I go and I'm standing waiting for the court doors to open up. And there's people all out there everywhere. And I saw your mother, my daughter, there. And I didn't know she was going to be there. And I heard my name, Daddy. And I'm like, there's a whole bunch of people calling Dad,
yeah.
right? And I turned, I saw your mom. And I went and we sat together. And the attorney came up and was talking to your mother. So it's your attorney, your mother, and me. And I started talking to the attorney. I said, is there any way that, you know, he could be
released
to me? And the attorney says, well, I don't see any problem with that. It's just totally okay if it's okay with your mother to be released. Mm. And that was just totally new. I had no idea that that was even a probability. And so we go into the courtroom, and we're in there, and you're up in the judge's situation over there, and this other attorney's here, and there's counselors all over the place. And your mother's here beside me and in the audience, and you're sitting up there. And when I went up and talked to the attorney over here, which would be the prosecuting attorney or whatever.
State attorney.
State attorney. Then they said that it can be done. And when I came back and told your mother, I said, they said it can be done. Your mother just broke out in tears and she was, you know, relieved that she said that that would be an answer to her prayers. And when you were talking to the judge about that, you know, what happened? What was that like when you were sitting there? And what did the judge ask you?
Well, before I had seen the judge, my attorney came and talked to me. He said, how would you like to live with your grandfather? And I was like, what? And I had to hear it twice because I didn't believe it. I was like, what? And she told me, and I was like, I would love that. I mean, it's better than what I'm here. It's way better than anything I could possibly, I mean, it's probably best. And I mean, I was ecstatic. I mean, I was so happy. Like, when I got to the judge's, like, seat thing that we had to sit in, like, I was like, I'm just going to hope he says yes.
Right.
And so when he said, I can do that, I said, honestly, I'm not going to mess up because this is my answer to prayers. I can't come back here. This is not what I'm for.
Right. So it's just like a God moment. Just none of us had any idea what God was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we were right in the middle at that time. We were in Alabama at a pastor's conference at the Gulf Coast Pastor's Conference with Pastor John Kilpatrick and others. And that was the day. So when that happened right there, I'm like, wow, you know, David's going to be with us. This is wonderful. You know, it's all of us like clicking in. And so it takes a while to get released.
Yeah.
And so I headed to Alabama to be able to go to the pastor's conference while they were getting you ready. And I said, well, I'm going to be back, you know, and it wasn't until midnight to the head. You ready, right?
And then we had to go back to pick up something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I came back from that pastor's conference to pick you up. And we had a little bit of sleep the next day. And we took off back to Alabama to the pastor's conference from Florida, where we were in Florida. And we got there. And what happened? Because the presence of God showed up, the glory of God showed up, and it was powerful. But yet, you still had this concussion, you had this injury in your ankle, and you're coming out of this whole pressure situation. I mean, what happened there to you?
Well, I was tired when I walked into the building, but when the presence of God showed up, I felt like I was wide awake. I was happy. I was dancing, and then I started crying.
Right.
I felt like. It started raining outside too, and I felt like the rain was my tears, and it was great. Whenever, what's the pastor's name, Nathan?
Nathan was the one, the evangelist
yes.
was there.
Yes, he was.
Nathan Morris.
Nathan Morris, he was going around, you know.
Well,
he administered.
He wanted to start praying for folks,
yeah.
And so he was coming your way, and he was praying.
Praying for a lot of people, and eventually he came my way, and I was like, something told me, you need to step out there. So I stepped out there, walked into the middle of the aisle, and he prayed for me.
What happened?
Like, just like everybody else, I fell down.
Wow.
It was so powerful that I fell, and I didn't want to get up.
Right.
And then I started, like, my left leg was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
My head started, like, tingling a little bit. It was pretty cool. I mean, like...
God's powerful, isn't
yeah,
he?
It was nice. And so whenever I got up, I was like, wait a minute, my ankle doesn't hurt. I'm like over here moving back and forth on each foot. I'm like...
Because your ankle was injured, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about that injury.
Yeah, I had a sprained ankle from trying to be a professional soccer player. Trying to show off
short
pride.
Short profession.
Short profession, yeah, trying to show off pride, but it doesn't work out like that.
No. Nope.
Pride gets you nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going back and forth on each foot, and I was like, why does my ankle not hurt? And it hit me. My head didn't hurt. The lights weren't hurting my eyes. And I was like, wait a minute. Is this possible that God could have done this to me? And I just sat there, cried, and pondered about it and wondered, like, I would have never thought. It was pretty cool.
It was in his plans to heal you,
yes.
To love you, to have you experience his presence. I mean, what do you think God's saying to you through all this? I mean, it's just amazing the things that God's doing in your life.
He's saying he needs me for something.
Yeah.
He needs me to do something.
I know this, that, you know, of course you came to live with us,
mm-hmm.
and it's been an exciting journey, and that, but we realized at some point you had a couple crisis moments, and we, you know, obviously we can go into church and the VFN Dream Center, different things of that nature, but when we were talking in my office in the studios, I was talking to you and John Ramos and Pat Hamilton were there with us, and I realized that all the things that you've been doing in your life, the reason why it's been so hard, this is what the Lord did on my heart, was you were doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have, you did not yet make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So it was like, you're, no wonder it's, you're getting defeated or tripping because you're doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that moment that I said, that's what I told you. I said, listen, you've been doing this alone. This is what's going on. And that you don't have to do this alone anymore. That you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You remember that moment?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that moment.
When Granddad, he had said, you need to stop doing this alone. You mm-hmm. need to accept, do you want to accept Jesus into your life? And I was like, my answer right off the bat was like, I should have done this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, he came over there and started praying for me, and I felt like I was on fire again.
I know too, but I noticed one thing, when you began to pray, your repentance was so sincere, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. as soon as you started asking God to forgive you, that moment with you and God was just a powerful moment. You began to weep, you could tell your heart was broken over the sin, and that's when God's presence just kind of just surrounded you. It was pretty hot with God's presence, right? What did it feel like?
I mean, I felt cold hands touch my back.
Yeah.
But as soon as they touched my back, they were cold no more.
Right.
They felt just like my back. And
right.
I mean, I felt relieved. I felt like, I felt like, hey, I just did something that I should have been done.
Right.
And I did something that is amazing. And something that I've been needing and something that can really help me.
So how has things changed now since you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I mean, it's a whole different.
Well, now I abide every day.
Mm-hmm.
I pray.
Mm-hmm.
I thank him for good things and thank him for bad things that teach me lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I thank him for the family I have. I show gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about your dreams now? It's totally different.
Yeah, I'm having dreams.
Yeah, tormenting situations prior to God. And now you're having awesome and fascinating dreams, right?
Yeah. I mean, I used to have these dreams that I can never remember, but I know I used to wake up sweating or fighting or mm-hmm. yelling in my sleep at night. And mm-hmm. people would tell me I talk in my sleep a lot.
Right.
But I've been having so many good dreams lately. I can remember every one of them. I can't even say I've had a bad dream for the past week.
That's so exciting, you know. And I want everybody to hear about this fascination moment that we talked about in your life. But I want to say this. What would you say? Look into that camera right there, and you're talking to people right now that are watching and listening, mm-hmm. and they've been religious, but they haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life yet.
Well, first thing I had to notice is that if I don't do this alone, or if I do it alone, I'm going to be in a lot of pain. I'm going to have a lot of suffering. I'm going to keep getting in trouble. I'm going to keep tripping up. And so, I mean, if you do accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and into your life and into your heart, and I mean, he'll help you out. He'll do things for you. I mean, he'll do so many good things that you probably can't even keep track of them. But, I mean, he does some of the best things. Even small things are the best things. And even the bigger things seem so small, but they're so big. I mean, any miracle is the same. To me, it's the same because, you know, a miracle is a miracle. A miracle brings things to you. But it's not about miracles. It's about knowing that God can help you, that you can get the help from God. And knowing that where you'll be going is probably the best part about it. Knowing that where you'll be going is going to be heaven if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
So tell them about the situation. It was storming. There was lightning coming around my office. And you were dressed for the weather out there. I wasn't. So I asked you to go out there and pull in some chairs, right? What was going on? What was happening?
It was during that tropical storm. And boy, my heart was beating so much.
It was loud thunder.
It was
lightning.
Yeah, lightning, thunder everywhere. It was great. I mean, it was great only because you told me something that really helped me out.
Well, what were you doing before I told you that?
Before you told me that, I was running.
To get some chairs out of the
weather. To get some chairs out of the weather.
Why were you running?
Back inside. I was scared to die.
Scared to die. Many people are scared to die, David.
Yeah.
Because they don't know where they're going to go. I mean, so many people, it's like, why are they so scared? But it's real, though, isn't it?
It is. It's just that natural fear. I mean, but now that I notice that Jesus is in my life, I'll know where I'll be, so why be scared? I mean, if you're willing to do things for God, and you're willing to do all these things for God, I mean, you got to be willing to die for God, too.
Right. He says, unless you pick up your cross and follow him, you can't have a part of him. It's like dying to ourselves. But I know that, you know, lightning was popping around your head and I was just calm. And what did I tell you?
I said, don't worry, David. We'll know where you'll be if you get shocked.
Right. And it's so wonderful having that peace. There's people right now that are, they're literally, they won't say they're terrified. They're actually probably angry or something. Mm. The truth is they're just terrified that they may die. And it's because they don't know God. Talk to the camera right there. Talk to that person and tell them they don't have to be afraid anymore. If that fear can go when they make the decision, because you'll know where you go, because it's eternal. You live forever. Mm-hmm. Talk to them now.
So, I mean, one thing I definitely have to say is when you accept God and God always accepts you no matter who you are, I mean, if you have Jesus and you do all that, as long as you're staying with him and you're doing everything that the Bible tells you to do, everything that you're supposed to do, anything that you feel is right for God, and anything, like, the only thing you can do when you die, you can't bring anything with you. You can't have anything in your pockets. You can't say, oh, I was rich. Oh, I did this for you. Oh, I did that for you. Only thing you can do is say, well, I had Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and God will let you in. I mean, there's no other way in. I mean, you can't carry all these riches, all these fames, anything. I mean, if you die and you know that you had Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything's going to be all right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And God even sent two ministers in training to our home one day, didn't he? Just to reaffirm that, right?
Yes.
That there's nothing that we can do outside of just accepting Jesus' finished work on the cross for us, that he died for us, how much God loves us, that he gave his son for us.
Yes.
And life's so much easier with him, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it amazing how frustrated people are who don't have God? I mean, they talk about God, but it's like, I don't see God there. It doesn't seem peaceful to me.
I know how that is, because I've gone through that same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not peaceful when you know God, you think you know God, right, but you don't see or have God in your heart, your mind, body, or soul.
So many people that they know about him, but they don't know him like you know him now. And of course, once you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you begin to learn about him.
Yeah, it's so not like an automatic knowing everything kind of thing. You got to learn.
Yeah, it's called discipling, and that he says, you know, that we may trip, we may make mistakes or whatever, but there's grace for that. Yeah. And that God teaches us and we get stronger and stronger, you know, as we do that. Mm-hmm. Well, man, I'm so glad to be able to have you on, having my grandson on, talking about his walk with God and being healed and being set free and rescued and that, you know, all those things that it's fascinating journey that God has began with you and sharing things with you. And God's just merciful.
Yes, he is.
I love you, man.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.